This is a precious portion. When I began looking into it earlier, a few days ago, I couldn't see what was here. And then the more I studied it, the Lord just began opening this up to my heart, and it's a precious portion. From verse 8, where we're going to begin tonight, through chapter 10 and verse 4, we have four strophes, they're called, S-T-R-O-F-E, that's what, how it's pronounced, but it's spelled S-T-R-O-P-H-E-S. And they're groups of stanzas is what they are, or poetry. And remember, Isaiah is written in Hebrew poetry. So these are four, they're called strophes. And I got the correct pronunciation out of the World Book. S-T-R-O-F-E is how it's pronounced, but it's spelled S-T-R-O-P-H-E-S. And each of these stanzas or lines of poetry end with the words, "For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." There's four of them. And we return to the prophecy that God gave Isaiah, and it was broken off back in the fifth chapter. If you'll recall, we had this same statement by God in the 25th verse, the latter part, in chapter 5, 25, and B, we've been writing them. At the end of this verse, he says, "For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Okay, it's broken off there. Now we pick it up again here, and Isaiah that now begins to pin down, write down what God tells him concerning the condition of the nation Israel. And again, this condition that he speaks of is evil and it's trouble and all they're going to go through. And yet God's hand is stretched out to them. He wants to deal with them. With each of these strophes, the darkness gradually increased. It doesn't all at once. And I was mentioning to Glenn today, I believe that we can see this today in the world, how little by little the darkness is increasing. And you know, when something is gradual, you don't notice it as much as you would if it just suddenly broke off. The what? Yeah, right. It gradually comes. And most Christians are blind to this, that the fact that the Lord is coming, they don't see there, and it's sad that they are. So in verse 8 to 12 of the ninth chapter, we have the first strophe. So let's read it. And this eighth verse, I couldn't get away from it. It just stayed with me for a couple days. "The Lord sent a word unto Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, they say in their pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars." We've got this strength. "Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind. On the west, the Syrians will be on the east, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." I want to read this now out of the Hebrew. I enjoy this. I don't know how much you folks do, but I enjoy this Hebrew rendition. "A word unto Jacob, Adonai hath sent." This is Christ himself. "On Israel hath that word fallen. All Ephraim's people shall hear of that word, and they in Samaria dwelling, who in heart's pride are thus boasting, bricks may fall down, but with hewn stones we'll build. For sycamores cut, we'll plant cedars. 'Tis for such boasting Jehovah exalts the foes of King Rezin against him," that is against Ephraim, "Syrians on the east and Philistines on the west. With open mouth Israel eat up. For all this is anger, it's not turned away, but its hand is ever outstretched." All right, let's look at this eighth verse. this word, a word, the Lord sent a word unto Jacob. This was sent especially to the 10 northern tribes and then to the two. We know the 10 northern tribes were taken captive first by the Assyrians. But this word means range or set in order. It means to arrange or set in order. And this is what God does. His word is set in order. And he sent this word unto Jacob, and then it lighted upon Israel. This word lighted stayed with me, and I looked it up. It means to fall down from heaven. From heaven is in parentheses, and it's used of divinely revealed oracles. Okay, let's go to Genesis, see what happened here to Jacob. Remember when he was leaving home, Genesis 32, and the 24th verse, most of us are acquainted with this, when Jacob was left alone and there wrestled a man with him in the 24th verse, until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed, that is that Jesus Christ prevailed, not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, that's again Jesus Christ said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Jacob needed the Lord. Here, he was all alone, he just left home. He needed the Lord. I think if more of God's people would come to this place, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. This is what we all need. We need to come to this place in need. This is the Lord place the Lord brought Jacob. And he said unto him, what is thy name? The Lord asked Jacob, and he says, as if the Lord didn't know it, he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Israel means the Prince of God. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that I doth ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which means turn thou God to me. Or it also means the face of God. There's several meanings. He says, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Peniel means turn thou God to me. And then as he passed over Penuel means the face of God. Get them straight here. The sun rose up, and he halted upon its thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and he did this for a purpose, in the sinew that shrank. In other words, he was crippled for the rest of his life. He was dependent upon the Lord, but he became this after the Lord changed his name. He became a prince with God. So the word lighted, and I love that, it lighted upon Israel. And in the Scofield Bible, he has a note. He says, Jacob is the name of the natural posterity of Abraham. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Israel, the spiritual part of the nation. So the word was sent to all the people of the nation of Jacob, all the nation of Israel, but only Israel comprehended the word, this heavenly messenger. After his name was changed, he comprehended who this was. Jacob speaks of the natural posterity, Israel the spiritual posterity. All the nation Israel did not accept him, did they? And all the nation Israel today has not accepted him, and they will not accept him. Praise the Lord. Now he's talking about his word here, and I want to read it some scriptures on the word of God. Let's go over to Psalms 147. This word is not going to stop being fulfilled until every bit of it is fulfilled. It's going to run. It's running today through the earth, and it comes to man to destroy or to heal him. God has a purpose for the word. Psalms 147 and verse 15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. Don't you like that? In the 18th verse, he sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. And then we'll finish this. He showeth his word unto Jacob in his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. Notice the difference there? See, he showed his word to Jacob, but his statutes and his judgments unto Israel, the new creation, the ones that see God face to face. And then in Psalms 107 and the 20th verse, I think I know this one, but almost, yes. He sent his word, or he sendeth, present tense, his word, and healeth. This is 107 and the 20th verse. He sendeth his word, and healeth them, and delivereth, this is all present tense, them from their destructions. Every bit of that is present tense. This word destructions is pits. Man falls into many pits, doesn't he? And he needs to be delivered from that. So that's a wonderful verse. And when it's in the present tense, it speaks to our heart. And we know that his word, as in this 55th chapter of Isaiah, we can bank on this, because there's many times when the word goes out, just like Angie was speaking about, and that word is not going to return void. Over in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, let's start with the 9th verse here. No, let's go to the 8th verse. Oh, this book is so rich. Isaiah 55 in the 8th verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You know, I love this verse, because in the natural, our thoughts are not in harmony with him. We have to learn this, to bring our thoughts into harmony with his thoughts, and our ways into harmony with his ways. This is as different as daylight and dark. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. We can bank on this. But it shall accomplish that which I please, not what we please, but what God pleases. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. Wonderful scriptures there. Praise the Lord. All right. Now in this 9th verse, back in Isaiah 9, we've got a lot here tonight, so just trust the Lord, we can take it in, and oh, it's so precious. Notice this 9th verse, and all the people shall know, all the people, they're going to know this word. They're going to know it experimentally. But even though they're going to know it, we're going to find out that there's going to be no repentance. They say in their pride and rebellion in the 10th verse, the bricks are falling down, but we're going to rebuild them. Notice the buts in there. These bricks were sun-dried, and they dissolved very quickly out in the rain. And then the sycamores, he talks about, were not very valuable trees. So they said, well, we'll build with hewn stones, and we'll use cedar. Both of these were durable. They were very precious. They were better than the bricks and the sycamores. See, man's pride here. We're going to build better. We're not going to listen to you. They say this is their pride. But notice what the Lord does then. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join his enemies together. And we read that in the 12th verse 2. This is the punishment now that God sends because of them making light of the judgment that God already inflicted on them by Tiglath-Pileser's. And you can read about this in 2 Kings, the 15th chapter. They didn't think that what came upon them when he came, this king of Assyria came down, was very severe. They said, oh, we'll take care of this. We'll build again. But God's not going to let them alone because of their attitude to him. And so he says, I'm going to bring another invasion upon you. In your pride, you made light of what I sent before. You say, oh, that wasn't that serious. You know, man does the same thing today. Individuals do this very same thing. They may have a little trial, and oh, that wasn't very severe. I think I'll go on and walk my own way. But this is where the man is. But God here brought another invasion, and he's going to do it again. This is all speaks about the future. The king of Assyria, Rezin, will not only bring an end to Ephraim, which speaks of the 10 tribes, but he would invade Judah and threaten Jerusalem. The word goes on its course, as we're going to see. The word is not going to stop. God's word is effective, and it marches on. Every bit of this word is going to be fulfilled, and we can see it today being fulfilled all around us. We may look for signs, and that's what we by sight, we want to see them. But we believe this word, and that's what the Lord wants. So the Philistines came, and they attacked Judah. They didn't attack the northern tribes. Notice the Philistines, the Syrians before, which would be on the east, the Philippians behind, which was on the west. And they shall devour Israel with open mouth. With open mouth. That's quite a statement. Let's go over to chapter 120. See, this is just a little prelude of what's coming to the nation Israel. Chapter 120 of Isaiah. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. Then let's go over to Jeremiah. This one is a very descriptive. Jeremiah 30 and the 16th verse. You know, I love prophecy because I love it because I know what's coming. When we read prophecy and we know just how God's word is moving on, it just thrills me. Jeremiah 30 and the 16th verse. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured. And think about this nation too. And all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. That's quite a statement, isn't it? This nation here is in for trouble. I don't know how many of you, I think you've noticed that in the election that's coming up, this is the first time in history there's been a Jew that is running for vice president. We'll see how it turns out. All these things, God orders. He sets up kings and he puts down kings. He's got a reason for all this. All right. Any questions on that first strophe? Because I want to go on. They didn't acknowledge it was God. They realized that it was God doing it, but they didn't want to repent and ask him for repentance because of the pride in their hearts. They still got this pride, you know, man, it's there. All right, the second strophe is verse 13 through 17. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. This is Jehovah to Sabaoth. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and the honorable, he is the head. See how the word explains itself? And the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of his people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is a hypocrite or profane, and an evil, that's pretty straight talk, isn't it? And an evildoer, and every one speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. What a statement. Now here we see that man our human nature never changes. The old creation is always the old creation. I don't care how far back we clear to the beginning of time, he's been the same. He wants to hear smooth talk. Let's go over to Isaiah 30. And he doesn't want to hear the word, the straight word. It convicts him, doesn't it? Isaiah 30, and this is how Israel, what they said. We'll get over there as we go on. This whole book is full of this. Isaiah 30, verse 10 and 11. Well, let's read the 9th. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the word of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, that is the spiritual ones, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Isn't that sad? The words, they actually reject him, don't they? They reject him. Smooth talk. That this is, Paul speaks to this, to Timothy about this, and Timothy, you know, they want teachers with that will cause their ears to itch. They have itching ears. So here Isaiah gives them another reason for the necessity of divine judgment. And one thing God hates, and that's pretension. And because false prophets, all they do is they want to please the people who they minister to. They want to please them. And this is what every one of them will do because, well, this is the kind of interesting some of this. That they want to wag their tail is what thought there. But I want to read this in the Hebrew now, or verse 13. For not to their smiters do this people turn, and their smiter is Christ himself. Jehovah to save off they seek not. Therefore he doth from Israel lop the head and the tail, palm and mire rush. The man whose long years have brought in respect is the head, while as the false speaking prophet is but the tail to be humbled, in the parentheses. For this people's leaders but lead them astray, while as those that are led are devoured. This is the reason the Lord hath no joy in their young men, taketh no pleasure. No mercy hath he on their orphans bereaved, no pity even on widows, for all of them are but liars in heart, and all in their speech are blasphemers. Quite plain, isn't it? For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is ever outstretched. Well, here we see that the judgment of God falls on the leaders, those most highly esteemed in civil life. They've been given positions of honor. We see this right down to here to local governments too. They're called the ancient and the honorable, and they're the head. The tail were the false prophets. They were teaching lies. And over in chapter 3 and the 12th verse, these words are my, they're very plain. What more can I say? Isaiah 3:12. Notice what he calls them. As for my people, they belong to him, the nation Israel. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy path. Isn't that sad? All they're doing is destroying them. And then over in Revelation, on the tail, this was kind of interesting. In Revelation, the 9th chapter, we read here of these horsemen, army of horsemen. This is under the sixth angel, or the sixth angel sounded in the 13th and 14th verses. They're told, the angel says in the 14th verse, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the angels were loosed, which were prepared for the hour and day and month and year, for to slay the third part of men. The number of the army of horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them. We noticed yesterday the horses in this country, they're multiplying. And I read this today, I thought, well, there's a reason for it. I believe these horses are going to be used when this time comes, not only in this country, but other places. And them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of the head of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like serpents, like unto serpents, and had heads. And with them they do hurt. That was interesting regarding these tales. But these false prophets here, see, are described as the tail, the prophet that teacheth lies. He is the tail. Well, not that these in Revelation are false prophets. They're going to be devilish man that comes against the nation Israel. But they will have. Their tails will be used, in other words. In this section, in this strophe, this second one here we have tonight, we see the two political divisions of mankind that will head up in religious Babylon and in political Babylon. Under political Babylon, we see the Antichrist. He comes out of the sea, out of the Gentile nations, out. And the false prophet, he comes out of the earth. Sister Woody always felt like he was going to be the Pope. And the earth speaks of the Jewish nation. So there is a cardinal, we were talking about this today, that is in the line to be the next Pope. So we don't know how the Lord's going to fulfill all this, but it's glad we can just watch it and sit back. With these... The head and the tail, they represent two divisions of mankind. The head speaks of the political part of mankind, political Babylon. And the tail, there is a false prophet who teaches lies, and he's the religious Babylon that we read of in Revelation 17 and 18. But both of these will work together. We could get into that. But mankind is, we see there after a while that the political Babylon is going to destroy religious Babylon in Revelation. No, the false prophet, religious Babylon. Jesus, that's the great whore, and the false prophet will be connected with that religious system. All right. We notice here in this section that the Lord doesn't discriminate, because he is dealing with this nation as a nation and not as individuals. He is the governor. He is the one who is showing his power as the governor over the nation Israel. This is the why we don't see that. We see all of these ones in the 17th verse included in this judgment. If he had been dealing with individuals, then it would have been different. But he is all are going to suffer alike under him because he's dealing with the nations. He doesn't discriminate. We know that Christendom today is a picture of Israel. In the book of Job, and I wrote this verse down, it's in chapter 9:24. Job said, "The earth is given over into the hand of the wicked." Do we see that today? The earth is given over into the hand of the wicked, and that's Satan. We don't see any evidence today of a just governor. We don't see him anywhere. But in Psalms 22:28, we read he is the governor of the nation. He is the ruler of everything that's going on. And he is the one that's in control. And aren't we thankful? He governs everything. Just as these candidates now that we see coming up that want to be president and vice president. He is the one that has put them in this position. Praise the Lord. All right, any questions on that part? Well, it's just another description of the two. They had some in there, more on that, but I didn't write all of it down. All right. It's the palm and the mire rush is what he thought. The palm, the branch that lifted himself up is the thought there. Okay, are we ready for the third strophe? Okay, 18th verse. For wickedness burneth as the fire. This is a really interesting part. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest. And they shall mount up like the lifting up of smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Now, can you imagine it getting that serious? But it did back there. At this time in the nation Israel, they ate their children. Manasseh, Ephraim and Manasseh, for they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. All right, before we explain it, I want to read it again out of the Hebrew. For like a fire doth wickedness burn. Now, notice what's burning. It's wickedness. Feeding on thorns and on briars, in thickets of wood it kindles its flames, in a column of smoke then it mounts up. By the wrath of Jehovah, Jehovah of hosts, the land is charred and blackened. That fire in the people, notice this, in the people, this is wickedness, that fire of wickedness in the people now finds its food. For no one spareth his brother. They hew on the right, but hungry still. They devour on the left, still unsated, unsatisfied is the thought. And each his own arm is gnawing. Manasseh for Ephraim serveth for food, whilst Ephraim feedeth on Manasseh. See, there's civil war among themselves, in other words. United they fall upon Judah. For all this is anger is not turned away, but his hand is ever outstretched. Can you imagine man getting in this condition? They did, and they're going to do it again. War is a terrible thing. This country has not seen war like this. Now, this is the third time that warnings of divine vengeance is given by God. Willful wickedness has in it the idea of willful turning away from known truths. Say that again. Wickedness has in it the idea of a willful turning away from known truths. Man kindles it within himself, right inside. It's not applied to mere ignorant wrongdoing. That isn't what it is. Rejectors, sooner or later, are given up and left to themselves. And then they become unchecked and unhindered, and the fire of the perverse human will burns and provides its own fuel. Isn't this what happens? It's what's happening, isn't it? Wickedness feeds on itself. Quite a statement. Shall I read it again? Okay. Wickedness has in it the idea of willful turning away from known truth. You don't accept truth. Satan is a very cunning man, creature. God made him, remember. Man kindles it within himself. It's not applied to mere ignorant wrongdoing. It's not what I'm talking about. Rejectors, sooner or later, are given up and left to themselves. And then unchecked and unhindered, the fire of perverse human will burns and provides its own fuel. And I can see this. Now, and the thorns here, he talks about in this 18th verse. Notice that for wickedness burneth as the Hebrew, for like a fire doth wickedness burn, feeding on thorns and briars. Thorns and briars express so graphically man's fallen state, which keeps the fire burning. See, it's that fallen state that keeps this fire burning. Now, this writer, and some of these commentators that I thank the Lord for them, why does the lake of fire continue its eternal? We have the reason right here. Wickedness burns on itself. It goes, feeds on and on. Remember in the lake of fire, and there's going to be different degrees of wickedness. Over in Revelation, the 20th chapter, it's everlasting fire. This is the same thought here. Revelation 20 and verse 12 and 13. This is the judgment of the wicked dead. Now wait till you find it. This world is in for something that man has never seen before. It will be, what went on back here in Isaiah's day is just a little insight into what's coming. Revelation 20 in the 12th verse. And I saw the dead, small and great, this is the wicked, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. See, the wicked dead are judged according to their works. Many wicked are much more wicked than others. Their works are terrible. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead. Won't that be a day? Which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. There he says it again. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And it's going to go on forever and ever. It's going to feed upon itself, see. Okay, let's go over to Psalms 83. We get another insight into this time that God's going to take care of his enemy that has tried to destroy, and he's trying to hinder and destroy today God's people. Psalms 83, and start with the 13th verse. Oh my God, make them like a wheel. The wheel in my margin is a rolling thing or the whirling dust. As the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah. This Jehovah here, and notice it's all in capitals in my Bible. I don't know if it is in yours. It's the self-existent one. He's the self-existent one. He's the eternal one. And that whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth. The most high here is El Elyon. E-L and then capital E-L-Y-O-N. He's the most high over all the earth. And dear ones, he's our Father. Isn't that wonderful? He's our Father. That's what's wonderful about this. Now, this is going to be terrible. We're going to be with the Lord at this time. Thank the Lord. But it's coming, and there's ones that we know that are going to be here to go through this. It's not just going to be in the land of Israel. It's going to be over all the world. All right. Notice in the 19th verse, the wrath of God brings the fire, and the land is darkened or is burnt up with smoke. It'll be suffocating heat. I thought when I wrote this down about the fires out west, you know, they're in terrible time getting them out. Well, I believe that's me. I feel it's part of God's judgment already beginning on this nation. Every age has an overlapping, remember? All right. Yeah, they were started by lightning, which is God. So God leaves these people to themselves, and their ties with him then are broken. So no man is respected. Is man respected today by others? So man's sword turns on against those of his own family. This word snatch, it means to eat up, to devour, and is used of the slaughter of war. In the historical account of this, they manifested inhuman self-destruction. They devoured one another